The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, Sirius XM Channel 158. It's Gil Alexander. How you doing? It's Kelly Billen to my left.
Hey-o.
Producer number nine. So much more than a producer. What's happening, man?
Oh, nothing much. Nothing much.
Roughly 100 hours-ish. I did the math. A little more than that. Away from Super Bowl 59. Super Bowl licks. You excited? Is the excitement building? Has the excitement peaked? Is the excitement waning?
It's the Super Bowl. I'm always going to be excited.
But I was going to say, take your time,
but
Gil.
There's two big events I think we have before that, Gil. For us. NBA trade deadline, which is heating up big time.
I was like, what, the Transylvania Open? Finals?
Kevin Durant back to the Warriors?
Okay,
we're going to have to talk about that. And then awards finally tomorrow, right?
Awards
we
tomorrow.
We might make money finally tomorrow.
Awards tomorrow, baby.
What a positive attitude, right? We might make money tomorrow.
Oh, we're definitely making money because Jaden Daniels is winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. So cash that off the bat. The only question is, do I make Offensive Rookie of the Year plus MVP money?
Yeah.
In which case, it will be a banner day. A blue ribbon day is what I'm looking for.
For me, it would be MVP and comeback. I'm still kicking myself. What was that? Was that a Thursday at the D when you and Crack both walked 5 feet behind you and made that bet? And I was like, I should probably join those guys.
Which
and I
one?
Never
the Jaden Daniels
yeah.
one? It was the last seven plus 750 in town, and Lamar Jackson was 12-1 when I bet him at a different time. But yes, the Jaden Daniels thing was you just sleeping.
Me sleeping. I remember watching you two, and I'm like, I should probably do that same thing. Nope.
Did Crack bet it too? I didn't know.
Pretty sure he did, yeah.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. We had a lot of guests today. Jonathan Von Tobel live from New Orleans, site of Super Bowl 59. He will join us to talk Super Bowl 59, of course, and a little NBA as well. Maybe pick his brain about KD and Curry. If that happens, is that a thing? Does it move the needle? That's the question. Jim Root, James Patrick Root from Three Man. We've talked a little college hoops. Let's do a little list of college basketball teams. Get his opinion on can they win it all or not. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN, our old buddy Joe, from his own radio show. And, of course, ESPN Bet, the television show, and many, many SportsCenter appearances where he is beloved by seemingly all.
Shining star over there these days.
Shining star for you to see what your life will truly be. Joe Fortenbaugh. Hey, Kelly's got some waste management. Phoenix Open golf picks coming up as well. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. And our already set bet co-host friend, who used to be our primetime action co-host, Matt Brown. Is he in studio with us?
He is in studio,
ladies
and gentlemen.
All of his thoughts on Super Bowl 59. I have dipped into the prop market. I will give you those bets that I made last night here momentarily. I just want to say this because I cannot stop talking about Luka, as so many people are in that boat. And there's one thing, and again, everything that I said Monday still applies, which is, I don't care how you feel about this, the fact that the Dallas Mavericks and Nico Harrison did not shop this around, right, and only went to the Lakers for this. I don't care where you stand on this trade, and I am one of the people who stands on it, like, this is unprecedented, obviously, but the fact that he didn't shop it around is the one detail of this that remains, above all, the most mind-boggling thing going. Regardless of if you feel as, oh, he's often too out of shape, he doesn't play any defense, whatever your knock is, he wasn't going to sign the Supermax, whatever it is, you still shop this guy around to more teams. However, I did want to point this one thing out because every once in a while a new detail trickles in on this. And I feel like Brian Windhorst to me is probably the best analyst in any sport going. Agree or disagree? Is there anyone better in any sport? And the reason I say this is because
he's way up there.
I feel like he's unfiltered in a way that I can't wait to hear what he says.
I completely agree from that standpoint. Yeah, yes. And the unfiltered part is
What other barometer is there then? I cannot wait to hear what this guy has to say. He made a little aside in something he was talking about. He was like, yeah, you know what I said after game three of those NBA finals? And I was like, oh yeah, what did you say? So this is just to give him some props, and because I think it's a fascinating detail that we sort of glossed over at the time, because if you remember in the NBA Finals, the Celtics, they didn't sweep the Mavericks, but it was a gentleman's sweep. They won it 4-1, but it was one of those gentleman's sweeps also where it was 3-0. And so it was kind of KD barred the door at that point because nobody comes back from 3-0 in the NBA, in the history of the NBA. But after that game 3, Game three, which the Celtics obviously, you know, put the nail in the coffin, not completely, but it was, for all intents and purposes, done. It was 93-90 Celtics with just over 4 minutes in game three.
Yeah.
And the Mavericks fighting for their playoff lives and their finals lives at this point. And Luka took a foul, fell down, took a foul. And this is Brian Windhorst's reaction to SVP's questioning after the game about this sequence.
He is a hole on the court. The Celtics are attacking him. They are ahead in this series because they have attacked him defensively. And you've got a situation here where Luka is complaining about the officiating. They have begged him. They have talked with him. They have pleaded with him. He is costing his team because of how he treats the officials. He's a brilliant player. He does so many things well. They are here because of how he did. His performance in this game is unacceptable and the reason why the Mavericks are not going to win. He's got to get over this. And the fact that he came out after the game and blamed the officials showed me he's nowhere close yet. So maybe over the summer, somebody will get to him because nobody with the Mavericks or anybody else in his life has. And that's where the Mavericks are at this point. They're never going to get to this tunnel with the trophy if he doesn't improve those aspects of his game.
And here we are just over a half a calendar year later, and all of this is manifested in the most dramatic way.
Yeah.
I just thought that was a Hall of Fame moment now in retrospect.
So did you happen to hear Brian Windhorst talking about this exact moment the other day?
I didn't in detail. I just heard him allude to it, so I found this.
Yeah. Very interesting, because it was right on the when the news came out, right, Luke, and everybody's, why? What? How could Dallas possibly do this, right? And Brian Windhorst said, he brought up that interview, right, and said, basically said he didn't know how it was going to go over with the Dallas brass, right? He was going to sit in press conferences.
Oh, I did hear
after
this
he
part.
Just called yes. out basically how Luka treats himself, performs, and how the coaches don't hold him to a higher standard, yada yada yada, right? And he said he went sat in every press conference, talked to all the Dallas Mavericks brass within the next 24 hours. None of them said a word. Which means it's yeah. been, of course it's been, and it's been a thing. And like that, and that's why he was so angry about it, because it's, we know how great of a player he can be, and it's a thing. It's absolutely a thing, his conditioning.
The soap opera that is the National Basketball Association. Anyway, shout out to Brian Windhorst, because I thought that was awesome.
But like we've said all week, so give me the upside on Luka the rest of his career.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Give me the upside. He's 25. You don't think he can get in shape eventually? Maybe he can, but he sure can.
I feel like that was my first angry I'm sorry in a while.
I made a couple prop bets. It's really two prop bets in one, but it's two separate bets. Here's the thing. You're for 2 weeks, you're just staring at these things. And no matter how hard you try, after all, like, nope, I'm just going to be a better, you know, disciplined on this. Finally, at some point, you're like, all right, I can't take it anymore. Kareem Hunt, Chiefs first touchdown scorer and the overall first touchdown scorer. I bet them both. The Chiefs first touchdown scorer at +425. The first overall touchdown scorer in Super Bowl 59 at 9-1. You can shop these around, but these are pretty much static numbers everywhere. I looked at many places and these were the numbers at multiple places. Here's the reason. Now, obviously, this correlates with my game thought, which is I'm on the Chiefs. I'm not going to get in front of the Patrick Mahomes train here. And now I obviously don't know who's going to get the ball first in the first half. That's obviously where the advantage begins, right? Which is kind of why I went with both of these, just in case the Chiefs didn't get the football. But with the Chiefs, when you think about the Eagles, you think about the distribution of first touchdowns. I mean, what is it? It's Saquon, it's Jalen Hurts, it's A.J. Brown, it's Devontae. Maybe it's the tight end.
Yeah.
Right? Maybe it's Goddard. With the Chiefs this year in 17 football games, right? 15-2, plus a couple playoff games, by the way. Plus a couple playoff games. So that's what? That's 19 football games. I'll do it from the bottom up. Here's who's had one first touchdown. Mahomes, Juju, Watson, Gray, Kelsey. Here's who's had two first touchdowns. D-Hop, Rashee Rice, who's no longer with us, of course. I mean, from an injury standpoint.
Yeah.
Didn't want to make it more dramatic than it actually is. Pardon me. Got a little ahead of myself. Second most, Xavier Worthy, four of the Chiefs' first touchdown scores
really?
This year. And number one is Kareem Hunt with five of them. Now, did that alone make me want to bet this? No. However, on a team that you feel like, and is also backed up by those numbers right there, that you feel like the distribution is far wider than, say, that of the Eagles when it comes to who could possibly score the first touchdown. Kareem Hunt still, if you step back, even if you didn't know those numbers, feels like the most likely, especially if you get to the 1 yard line, he's the guy most likely to get the football. Maybe even if they get to the 3 or 4 yard line, he's the most likely to get a short pass. I don't know. I'm just saying of all those players, he feels to me like the best shot going. And he is reflected in the numbers as the shortest shot on the Chiefs. But to me, plus 425 is the Chiefs' first touchdown score and 9-1 is the first overall score. Those are numbers that are better than I would have expected. By the way, Worthy, not much longer in either category, in case you were wondering. Xavier Worthy, who had 4 first touchdowns this year. So I really like the Hunt plays here. The other way I kind of look at it, and I know it's not the same thing because with obviously a baseball game and a tennis match, it's a binary choice, right? Somebody wins, somebody loses, and this is, multi-selection here. But if I'm just thinking about this in my tennis terms, like how many $4 dogs do I play a year? I play maybe a handful. We win a couple, right? Navarro beating Sabalenka last year. I think Putintseva beating Goff last year. For those who are tennis hardos who follow, they may remember. Baseball, I mean, a $4 dog, I think of the Tampa Bay Devil Rays taking on Randy Johnson and the Yankees. So if I put it in those terms, just those are 4-1s, and then I think about Kareem Hunt, Chiefs' first touchdown scorer, at plus 425. My brain goes to, and I know it's not mathematically the same thing, but my brain goes to, yeah, I'll take that. That seems way more likely.
So you're on the same page then with me, as well as Pacheco. It's Hunt over Pacheco, even in those short yard situations.
It is.
Me too.
For me is. Too. Yeah. We'll come back. JVT from New Orleans, site of Super Bowl 59. It's a numbers game at Beeson, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with Smarter Insights. Right now, you can check out articles like Wes Reynolds' Waste Management Phoenix Open Preview.
Yeah!
Greg Peterson's has his college basketball best bets. His middle name is Hoops, for God's sakes. So his parents named him. Middle name, officially. Steve Mackinnon's Super Bowl bets. Later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's best NBA props and picks, Jonathan Davis's best bets in the NHL, and Adam Burke with his best bets in college hoops as well. To get access to all the articles on VSiN.com right now, you can sign up for $59 off an annual subscription with promo code ANG.
ANG is an A numbers game.
Just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. He is in the Big Easy, New Orleans. He's our senior NBA analyst, but he's got he's on site there for Super Bowl 59 between the Eagles and the Chiefs, with the Chiefs 1-point favorites. It's our own Jonathan Von Tobel, everybody. You can follow him at MeJVT on Twitter, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. What's happening, John? How you doing, man?
I'm good, actually. And right when you guys brought me on, I see the news that Kyle Kuzma is a Milwaukee Buck. So what a day. What a day.
What a day.
Middleton gone?
I don't know. It just popped up, so I have to read it here. But yeah, it looks like let's see. Milwaukee Bucks are trading 3-time All-Star Chris Middleton to the Washington Wizards for Kyle Kuzma. Giannis Antetokounmpo, part of the known player. Kyle Kuzma.
Yeah, Kuzma, Patrick Baldwin Jr., whoever that is, a second-round draft pick for Middleton, A.J. Johnson, and another pick swap.
Well, I guess since we started here, does that move the needle for you at all for the Bucks?
I mean, it's cool. Like, he gives him size, gives him rebounding, gives another, like, little shot creator. I don't know if a team that struggled to defend along the perimeter, Gil, is all of a sudden fixed because Kyle Kuzma joins them. So I don't think it moves the needle too much. Like, I'm not looking at them over New York or Boston, obviously. And Boston last night, it was a little bit more in the first half, but they kind of, as I put it on VSiN Primetime, took their frustrations out on Cleveland, kind of flexing the muscles, like, relax, guys. We're still the best team in the East. Ended up getting that win. So I don't think it moves enough to really jump on Milwaukee or anything like that.
Would KD to the Warriors move the needle for you at all?
I mean, it would move the needle because if you guys remember before the season started, I liked this Warriors win total over, and I have that, so I would very much like him to go so I could get that thing over.
But besides you, John, would it move?
Right, yeah.
Yes.
That's the only thing that matters. I don't think that when I look at the overall makeup of the Western Conference that would do a ton for me. I think I will say this. The big issue for Golden State is obviously their offense. That's been a very big problem for them, especially when Steph Curry's not on the floor. They've been really bad. And if they're going to be fully healthy, then that's going to work. The problem is, and I don't know if you guys have more details on this, I've read that it would be Draymond Green as part of the package. And so I think your defense takes a significant hit if he's not there. Like, if you give me reuniting Curry and Durant and Draymond, then I think that's something that ultimately could make them very pesky in the Western Conference. But if he's gone and it's just Curry and Durant, I don't know if you're going to be able to break through that ceiling in the West.
Well, also, if Draymond is gone from the Warriors, that's one thing. But then, like, then if Jimmy Butler goes to the Suns, what does that matter if KD's gone, right? Like, none of it makes any sense.
Right. Right. And then I would assume that Beal's gone then. So, like, at the end of the trade deadline, is it going to be Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler together on the Phoenix Suns?
Right? Like,
what in the world
force
is that going to be? Yeah. Right. Like, they're going to be playing 80 to 70 games the entire time and fighting each other. Like, I don't know if that's going to work.
What were you going to say, Kelly? You want to jump in?
No, I was going to say, like, okay, let's just, if we're living in a world where KD does go to the Warriors, John, because you said it doesn't move the needle. I think it moves the needle a little bit for me. If KD goes to the Warriors and we've got Luka on the Lakers, who's the better team? Assuming no more trades are made.
Golden State. I think I feel pretty confident saying that. Now, again, we're talking about who's the better of two play-in teams, though, right? Like, all right, cool, congratulations. Like, here's these two. When you look at, because remember, right, we still haven't seen Oklahoma City at its full power. We haven't seen, yep, Chet Holmgren and Isaiah Hartenstein together. We haven't seen what that is going to look like. That's ultimately what we're all expecting and what we wanted, and they're still rolling through this. And then you have that versatility that Oklahoma City does. Oh, you want to go small? We'll go small.
JVT, last thing. Two last things on the NBA. One, we haven't talked to you since the Luka trade specifically. I know you've been all over the network, including your show, talking about it. Just give us your macro statement on the whole thing.
It's like the stupidest trade I've ever seen. I don't understand what we were doing here. That's bad business. I don't know why you call one team for that deal. And as a Clippers fan, Gil, the Lakers continue to step in it, and it's absolutely ridiculous how this team continues to stumble into success.
Incredible.
I hate every second.
It's incredible. We thought we were going to get a generation where they stink. Yeah, no, we're not even given that anymore.
I saw a kid. There was a video after the Luka trade. Gil, this kid was in a Dodgers Ohtani jersey being told that his team, he's like eight, they just traded for Luka Doncic. I don't know who this child is, but I hate him. I hate him. I just don't understand how you can live that existence.
I kind of hate him too, and I don't even know him. I didn't even see him. Do you have time to handicap the NBA while you're down there? Anything tonight?
Yeah, a little bit. I haven't done a ton. I will say Bucks and Hornets. Bucks right now are like 10.5 point favorites. Now, after the deal, obviously this changes things a little bit, but not a ton. Hornets have been getting up in the front, beaten up in the front court. They're very thin up there. It's been a pretty big problem for them. So I think going Giannis over player points tonight is going to be very much something worth looking at. If he's going to play, I know he's got a tag on him, but keep an eye out for Giannis player points if he's going to play tonight.
List of food you have eaten in New Orleans, food you have yet to eat. Did we lose JVT?
Yeah, I think so. I think I audibly heard him say, oh no.
My most burning question. We lost him on that right as we get to the NFL. We'll see if we can reconnect with JVT on Super Bowl 59. But he mentioned off air, which precipitated that question, which is he's eating his way through New Orleans.
Yes.
Trying to get there. Yeah.
I thought the KD to the Warriors thing was interesting from him because I think they're a better team than the Lakers. And look, if you get into the playoffs, he's right. It's probably a play-in scenario. But you get into the playoffs, man, I'm not counting either one of those teams out. You're telling me Luka, LeBron stacked together and Kevin Durant and Steph Curry still?
But I do believe what we were just talking about, which is, yeah, but if Draymond's not on the Warriors, and again, remember, for me, he's the one human in any sport where it's like so great on this one team, kind of worthless everywhere else. And then if KD's not on the Suns, what does Jimmy Butler matter going to the Suns? Like, no, I'm just back with JVT, by the way, Super Bowl 59. Food you've eaten, food you're waiting to eat. Let's get that out of the way real quick.
Let's see, like jambalaya, shrimp Creole, blackened catfish, still think it was my favorite. Had gumbo the other night for the first time, and then I had a shrimp po' boy. Left on the list is, I'm trying to think, there's one more thing left on the list that I haven't really tried, but yes, I've tried pretty much everything.
You gotta get some gator. You have some gator.
So yesterday at the media party, they had like these spicy, it was like a pasta, but it was with ground gator meat in it. It was absolutely tremendous.
Beignets and pecan praline cookies. That's all.
Those are the two that are left. Yep. We tried to go to, what's the famous place? Cafe Dumont last night, but apparently they're not open 24 hours right now. So we tried to go down there, but yes, we are. That is on the list next.
Those cookies are ridiculous. Ridiculous. All right. Super Bowl 59. What are you playing on the side? What props you got?
So I bet Eagles money line when it first got posted. So I've got Eagles money line plus 110. I think they're a better team, guys. And I think it seems like we're going to go off as them as the favorites. I keep saying, if I remove the ridiculous three Super Bowls and you just say, hey, evaluate these rosters. I've been asking people out here, like football players, everything. The answers really come back. No, the Eagles are the better team. And I'll take my chances with what I think is the better team on the money line to win that game outright. A couple of others. I did bet Xavier Worthy over the 5.5 rushing yards. I think like everybody and their mother, I think it's a pretty good spot. I thought 6.5 was still playable at a reasonable price, still about like minus 120 of the over. And I have a couple of other things. One of the things that really moved, I think I brought this up to you guys, that Eagles fourth down prop, will they convert a fourth down? It opened yes, minus 1,000. So I took the no at plus 550. That's really come down. But I think that really like way overbaked the tush push on the fourth and short. You got to get to a fourth and short before you can get there. So that's one of the big underdog things that I've got, and Kareem Hunt anytime touchdown for the game as well.
I have I've been workshopping this starting yesterday, but I you know, for those of us who have the Chiefs, you do not, you have the Eagles. But for those of us who quickly made a bet on the Chiefs, I'm trying to get every one of us who has the Chiefs to admit this next part after the comma, and so far I've gotten 100% agreement on this. You'll definitely, I think, agree with this because you're on the Eagles, but maybe you won't, which is, even for those of us who have the Chiefs, who think, you know, who rely on the Patrick Mahomes stat, hey, the Chiefs have won 17 straight one-score games, 12 in a row this year, which I believe the 17, it'll never be broken. I think that's a record that will never be broken. But even those of us who are relying on that and think the Chiefs win this in a tight game, if I came from the future and said one of these teams blew out the other, we're all in agreement it's the Eagles that do the blowing out. You, I would assume, would agree with that.
Yes, I would agree. For our, it wasn't a blowout, but like for my score prediction in our VSiN Super Bowl guide, mine was 27-17 Eagles. Like, if there's a team that's going to win by multiple scores, I think it's Philadelphia. I don't think there's any question about it.
So that right there, I think the point of that question for me is, this is why it's an impossible game to truly handicap, and that were this in a 10 a.m. window or a 1 p.m. Eastern window on a week 11, would you be betting the side in this game, John?
Probably not, you know. But I will say this. I mean, what makes this so interesting is, like, because it is a playoff game, right? I mean, that added magnification of how well Patrick Mahomes has performed in these moments, like, adds to the handicap. So I would say probably not. But I do think that they are the better team, so maybe I would, but I would say probably not.
All right, Jonathan Bodtoble, 7 to 11 Eastern, VSiN primetime host, live from New Orleans this week. Get your 20,000 steps a day in, John. Make it happen.
Yes. Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it.
Got to walk it off. Just got to walk off that food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not that. Listen, great food, not the bastion of healthy food,
yeah,
though. Let's put it that way.
Who wants that, though?
But those pecan praline cookies, man. College Hoops, Jim Roop from Three Man Weave on the other side. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
You know, at some point in your gambling career, you're going to have trouble getting money. That's for sure. We've all been there. For some of us, it was having trouble money-gramming money to Anita Rodriguez for some offshore back in the day. That's just me, though. Ever had your deposit blocked by your bank right before a big bet? Ever needed cash at 2 a.m. for another shot at the tables but hit your ATM limit? Edge Boost has your back. Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors. Listen to this. With Edge Boost, all your gambling-related transactions will always be approved. No more headaches. For you high rollers, you can move up to $250,000 a day, quarter mil, on your Edge Boost Visa debit card with unlimited withdrawals. This works 24/7 for instant deposits. Never wait for a wire to clear again. Gets even better. Every time you deposit into a gambling account, you earn cashback rewards up to a half a percentage point. All this for no usage fees and no minimum balance. It's a bank account, not a credit card, so there's no approval required or credit checks. Finally, Edge Boost has a suite of responsible gambling tools to help you manage your bankroll and make informed decisions. What are you waiting for? Go to edgeboost.bet. That's edgeboost.bet. Use the promo code ANG to start a tier 2 for faster bank transfers and higher cashback rewards. Sign up for Edge Boost today.
Again, love the ability to be able to kind of separate your gambling bankroll into a separate checking account that you can use with the Edge Boost. It's awesome. And yeah, Gil, way too much money that I tried. I was trying. They wouldn't take it. Trying to send to the Philippines back in the day. And it just
By the way, I've never heard you more passionate about anything, any promo that we have, more than you are about Edge Boost.
I think it's a very cool product. I think I saw Spanky tweeting about it yesterday, yeah, too. Yeah.
Maybe the people at Edge Booster should hire you as a spokesperson. Hi, I'm Kelly Bidlin.
Oh, my God, I can finally get my career started.
Hi, I'm Kelly Bidlin for Edge Boost. That kind of thing.
What's my, oh my God, why am I blanking on the spray?
One the what? Oh,
yeah, Seal, yeah. Flex Seal.
Flex Seal.
I'm coming for you, Flex Seal.
Hi, I'm television's Kelly Bidlin. We get tweets at Beanie the Book. Ice Cold Gambler. Anyone see Dan Campbell or Kevin O'Connell in New Orleans? Praying for O'Connell Coach of the Year, he says. Yes. Will they telegraph the pass like baseball does?
I fully expect Jonathan Von Tobel to tweet out things like that if he sees the, he sees people like that.
We got a couple of this from By the Books, which precedes us with great Dave Ross, Ryan Leaf co-hosting today with him. Jesse Welch. Ryan Leaf dropped a nugget this morning saying that Josh Allen was not on the ballot for the voting of Offensive Player of the Year. If that's the case, that isn't. Then isn't that definitely going to lead some voters into giving Allen the MVP and Lamar the Offensive Player of the Year vote? Joe C714 adds, Ryan Leaf just made a great point that Josh Allen isn't listed as top five for Offensive Player of the Year, insinuating he will win MVP. Is the NFL not going to give Captain America anything? We got Luka. He said he's tweeting from Southern California. So what Ryan means, I'll translate here, is, and we read this last week when the finalists came out for each of these awards, for Offensive Player of the Year, Josh Allen was not one of the five finalists. And so I guess what these gentlemen are saying is what Ryan was saying was, okay, so they're not going to shut out his sort of lean was they can't possibly shut out Josh Allen for both of these, right? Maybe they'll give Offensive Player of the Year to Lamar Jackson, and then Josh gets the MVP. I think Saquon's winning Offensive Player of the Year, period. So you're shutting out one of them, right? You're going to shut out Lamar. You're going to shut out Josh.
Yeah, I don't know. The way I look at that finalist list is you had to come up with four other names.
Yeah.
Because I think they're handing that one to Saquon. One of these guys is getting boxed out. I think you're right, Gil.
Eddie Vegan Runner, Matt Brown in studio. We're putting the band back together. Yes, indeed we are. The real Joby. In the week following the Super Bowl, can you bring back the legendary matriarch of the Jardian Cinematic Universe for her post-hoc analysis of this year's suite of Super Bowl commercials? You remember we had the Jardians lady on the show at the date?
These great moments in summer programming history.
Great moments in a numbers game history. And then D-Gen Southern Gent, first Super Bowl memory, Richard Hamm insulting seven-year-old me for asking, who's Jay Novacek, as he scored the first touchdown at Super Bowl 30. Two things happened that day. My disdain for the Cowboys began, and I vowed to never be accused of not knowing ball ever again. Richard Hamm, a Steelers linebacker? You're talking about Jack Hamm back in the day. Richard Hamm?
Oh, yeah. You're right. I'm talking about Richard Jack Hamm. I have no idea.
I'm missing the reference. Ryan Hyatt. Here's to Joe Fortenbaugh, one of the greatest guests of all time on our old radio show. He's still mad amazed I won a fantasy football league one year with Joe Flacco as QB1. Catch him here in a little bit on a numbers game. Hope Joe's expense. Oh, he continues. Hope Joe's expense account this week is a little deeper than the old National Football Post days. Yes, Fortenbaugh coming up momentarily. And Bobby Geddes. Apologies if you mentioned this, but don't forget that Kareem Hunt also didn't start the year with the Chiefs, so it's actually only out of 15 games, that's right, including the playoffs. Thank you for clarifying that as well. So more juice to the argument there. Let's talk some college hoops. Jim Root joins us from Three Man Weave. You can follow him at Second Chance Points. That's with the number 2 on Twitter, or at 3MW_CBB, where all Three Man Weave picks are. How you doing, Jim?
I'm hurting this morning, Gil. Uh-oh. As a Bucks fan, it's tough. It's a sad day. So end of an era. Chris Middleton gone. Going to try to focus on college hoops to console me.
Yeah, I guess.
It is sad, man. Great player.
Yeah, if you're a Bucks fan, I guess you would consider it an era for sure. Yeah. You're not excited about Kyle Kuzma joining your team? No, nothing.
I think Kyle Kuzma is outright terrible garbage, and this is an awful trade. I'll be definitive on that.
Let me repeat what Jim just said for those who missed. Outright terrible garbage.
You're telling me you're not interested in 29-year-old Kyle Kuzma having the worst statistical year of his career?
Exactly.
I didn't get you excited, Jim. Yeah, me either.
Well, I hope you can recover and answer some college hoops questions for us. Give us a couple picks. I know this is hurting you at this moment.
Gladly.
First of all, by the way, are you playing the Super Bowl? Do you have a Super Bowl bet? Chiefs?
Yeah, I'll be the spinny hat guy and bet the Chiefs.
Okay.
I bet the Chiefs money line -120. I'll take it. Go Pat Mahomes.
There you go. All right, I'm going to list some college hoops teams. I did a version of this with Matty Cox last week, but I'm going to list some college hoops teams, and you can say yes, no, you can elaborate. Some of these are going to be obvious. Some of them are going to be obvious to the other side. Who can win? Which of these teams can win a national championship when it comes down to March Madness here shortly as we roll through February now? Auburn, obviously at the top.
100% yes.
Duke.
Yes, they can, despite being very young.
despite being very young. Of course, they have a little player by the name of Cooper Flagg that we like to mention from time to time. Houston.
Yes, if healthy, which has been a concern lately for them.
Florida.
Yeah, I think they can. I think the guards are good enough, assuming Walter Clayton gets back healthy. I just think they know their style. I think Florida can win it. Yep.
Okay, here's where it gets a little dicier. Tennessee, who only has the 40th ranked in adjusted offense at KenPom.
Yeah, I'm going to say no. I don't think they have enough dynamism off the bounce. It's pretty much just Zakai Ziegler creating shots. They're so reliant on shot making from Ganey and Lanier. I don't think there's enough there for them offensively.
Same question for Alabama, which is kind of the opposite. 40th ranked adjusted defense, and every Alabama game seems to go fly way over the total.
I'll say yes. I think the defense would improve enough in a title run to show up in some of those KenPom cutoffs. And they've got personnel to be good on that end. So I'm sort of buying Alabama.
Here's an interesting one. Iowa State.
Yes. I think if they get Momchilovich back, it's enough scoring for them. They've got a great backcourt. And the defense has been solid. I think they can get there.
All right, we'll do the group version. I'll give you a bunch of teams. You tell me the most and the least likely of this group of Kansas, Purdue, Texas Tech, Arizona, and Gonzaga.
I will say most likely is Texas Tech. I'm a huge buyer on them. I picked them to make the Final Four in the preseason. I love what I'm seeing from them lately. They've got kind of scoring size. They can play big. They can play small. They've got a bunch of shot creators. I'm a huge, huge fan of that team and the arc they're on. Least likely, I will go with Purdue. I think they're just too reliant on three guys, Smith, Kaufman, Wren, and Lawyer. And I think when you get down to it in a one-game environment where you really heavily scout a team, I think someone will find a way to take those guys away.
I say this for my buddies in the DMV, so this is a tailor-made question just for them. Maryland's not a thing, right?
Yeah, sorry. I'm not quite there on Maryland.
Okay. I just ask because they're 18th and 23rd, respectively, adjusted offensive defense. So one of the many teams that are just on the outside looking in. It's way early, though, here in early February. What do you have tonight, Jim?
Three quick picks here for you. Yeah. Starting with, I got to pull up the rotation numbers here. I wouldn't dare not have those ready for you. 7:06 Missouri, Tennessee under 134.5. My alma mater here. I think this is a tough matchup for both offenses. I think both are playing way slower in conference play. You look at their possession length in league play. I think an under is a good look there. 7:29 Tulsa +17. On the road at Memphis. Memphis is 0-10 in their last 10 against the spread as a 15-point home favorite. I think they kind of sleepwalk through this one. They've got a rematch on Saturday with their only league loss against Temple. I think this one's just kind of a get-in, get-out game for Memphis. And then 7:53, Nebraska -1.5 out west against Washington. They've already been out on the West Coast, so this isn't a travel game. They won at Oregon over the weekend. They had their six-game swoon in Big Ten play, but I think the Huskers are trending right back up on a two-game winning streak, sort of figured things out, and their very compact defense sets up well against an offense in Washington that cannot shoot.
Jim Root, everybody, a melancholy Jim Root after the Bucks traded a key cog of the Bucks championship team, Chris Middleton, to the Wizards. For what? How did you describe Kyle Kuzma again? For who?
Outright total garbage, I think is what I said.
Something like that. Outright total garbage at Kyle Kuzma. Jim, I hope you have an okay day nonetheless.
Cheers. Thanks, Gil. Appreciate it.
Jim Root, everybody, at 3MW_CBB for 3-Man Weave, and of course, at Second Chance Points for Jim himself. Joe Fortenbaugh from ESPN next on Super Bowl 59.
VSiN, the sports betting network.
The big game is almost here, and VSiN has you covered from kickoff to cash out. All your favorite VSiN hosts will be breaking down the action all day long with expert analysis, sharp betting insights, and real-time odds updates live from Las Vegas. From early morning breakdowns to in-game betting strategies and post-game recaps, we're bringing you the most comprehensive Super Bowl betting coverage anywhere. Watch live. Listen to all your options here. VSiN.com, the VSiN Watch app, YouTube TV, of course, SiriusXM Channel 158, iHeartRadio, and all major streaming platforms. Look at that. VSiN by the books to kick off the day at 8 a.m. Eastern. Kelly, you and me for an hour. At 1 p.m. Eastern, 1 hour of solid quality radio from us. All the way to cashing out with Joe Cirillo late at night. That's your big game coverage right here from VSiN.
The Jason Weingarten in studio with us?
Oh, is he really?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my.
In studio.
I learn things. We get tweets of Beating the Book real quick. This is from, let's see here. ND Money. New Orleans is my favorite place to eat. Three to add to the list. Crawfish, etouffee, boudin, and a muffaletta. Oh, getting hungry.
Now you're just showing off.
Off in the dark. Highlight so far today. Kelly Bidlin saying, I can finally start my career and waiting for Gil to respond. Mandy Davison. Kelly is to Edge Boost as the Big Hurt is to Nugenics. Tony Shank, can you hear Kelly doing the advertising saying, wait, there's more? DJ and Southern Jed also just clarifying that Richard Hamm was someone from his childhood. Of course, we don't know who that is. Scola, thanks for referencing the old offshore memories. Recalling now the red MoneyGram phone sending to Juan Augusto Diaz, Raul Ruiz, and Facundo Blanco. I think I once bet on Facundo Blanco in a clay court tennis match.
They never wanted my money, Gil. It took so long to get it to
him. And the look on the cashier's face as I would pay for the transaction, he said. And Matthew Mayberry, no mentioning of UConn, St. John's, or Marquette with Jim? I don't think anyone's going to be happy to see them in their bracket. Matthew, we just ran out of time. I could have gone more teams, but I had to group them in at the end. So my apologies. Ladies and gentlemen, he is a stalwart at ESPN. We've known him from so far back in the day. He's the co-host of Carlin versus Joe Monday through Friday, noon to three Eastern. That's the ESPN radio show that he does Monday through Friday. But he's also, of course, on ESPN Bet Live. He's always on SportsCenter. And most importantly, above all of that, and Tim Lawson, Megapod historian, confirmed this for us yesterday. He is still, after all this time, the most frequent guest in Megapod history. It's Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody. How you doing, Joe?
Wow. I did not realize I still held that distinction.
Yes.
And I haven't even been able to get on with you. I didn't come on this past year because of my stupid schedule. And then I think 2 years ago, I found a way to wedge on. But that's incredible. I got to keep that going. Keep people at bay on that one. It was good to be on with you guys. You specifically, Gil, Kelly, not so much. I can ignore him.
Kelly,
that's a joke.
Kelly,
that's a joke. Yeah. Everybody calm down.
Yeah, Kelly invited Joe on the show. Joe was crickets, and then I called him, and he's like, sure, I'd love to come on.
Great to hear from you, Gil.
He just doesn't have any respect for you. No respect for you.
Okay, Joe, we'll slide.
Hey, Joe, before we get to...
I have traveled down to New Orleans, and like, there's been some radio stuff, and I'm trying to get the schedule organized, and you think... If you get to a place like ESPN, you become a big shot, and like you have all these people doing this stuff for you. No, it's none of that. You're still handling all of it, which is okay. But like, there's a lot of stuff with people that I don't know as well. And then like you guys, I've known for a long time. So like Kelly reaches out, I see the text. I'm like, all right, I can't respond to this right now. I got a million things going on, but I got to get back to this. And then of course, Gil, like, that's not good enough. Next day, hey man, didn't respond. Need to have you on.
Before
we bring you on, I'm going to read a bunch of tweets to everybody and make you listen to it, and then I'm going to bring you on.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely. That was for Kelly, Joe. That was a message back to you. I have two questions before we get to your thoughts on Super Bowl 59, and this is just inside baseball questions because I'm curious, and maybe some others are. How do you know what your SportsCenter assignments are on a daily basis? I know your radio show. Maybe you have an ESPN bet that you know is happening in a static time slot. But with SportsCenter, how is it communicated to you that they need you on a specific version of that?
You get your schedule for the month and you're listed for the show no matter what. And then SportsCenter decides whether or not they're going to use you. So for example, like now that football season's about to end, ESPN Bet Live is going to go back to a regular schedule. We're going to go Monday through Friday. We'll be on 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on ESPN2. And during that time, I'll be listed for the 6 p.m. SportsCenter probably all five of those days if I'm not traveling to New York for the stuff I do in the morning down there on Fridays. But they'll list it, and then I'll hear from them sometime in the middle of the day, hey, we'd like to have you on tonight, and then here are the topics we were thinking. So that's generally how that goes.
Wow. I don't know what my guess was, but it wasn't that as the answer to that. A monthly schedule, and then they decide after that. And here's the last one. It's just you and me talking and Kelly. Nobody else is listening. The SportsCenter anchor that you feel enjoys your shtick the most, and more importantly, the one who's probably like, yeah, I wish the kid would shut up a little bit.
Oh, that's good. That's really good. Anytime you work with Randy and Gary, you know you've got a big opportunity there to make people laugh because those two are very much ready to go off script, to run long. to do a complete pivot, which, like, if you enjoy doing this for a living, those are two great guys to work with, because, like, right there, you can just make chaos on TV. And some of the best advice you ever get is, like, that chaos is the stuff that people react to, right? If we're just doing the same thing bland every day, it's going to be tough. So those two are great. And then, to be honest, L. Duncan might be the best trash talker you could ever come across. So if you are ready to go blow for blow with her, like, that's, but you're stepping into that arena. Like, you can't come weak, because she will shut you down. She's a fast thinker, and she'll just unload. So, like, those people are very interesting. I'm not going to answer the second part. The second part where you want me to burn someone, savvy move by you, but I got a career to think about here, buddy.
That's true. That's a good point. Probably should point that out. By the way, Randy and Gary's last names, just in case that someone doesn't know, is R.
Oh, Randy Scott, Gary Streisky. Randy Scott, Gary Streisky. You know what? I will answer your question about someone who probably doesn't like the shtick. She loves listening to me on radio. She always talks about it because she's listening on the drive up. But when I was picking Ohio State in the national championship game, Hannah Storm, not a fan at all, because she's a Notre Dame grad. She's a huge Notre Dame fan. And it felt like I was on with her every time Notre Dame was getting set for a playoff game. And I was picking against Notre Dame the whole way. So, like, she just got so sick of me coming on and telling the America all the reasons why Notre Dame wouldn't win. I'd imagine by the end, she's probably like, all right, enough of this guy. We don't even know who this D-lister is. And I can't blame her for thinking that.
Hannah Storm, not a fan of Joe Fortenbaugh. Write that down, Kelly. All right. A Super Bowl 59.
She's wonderful, but I'd have to imagine she's had enough of me.
Are you betting a side or the total here? Let's start there before props.
I'm leaning the Philadelphia, and I know a lot of people are going to say, well, he's the Philadelphia guy. Of course, he's going to take the Eagles. 2 years ago, I had a big bet on the Chiefs. All right. So let's just disband that right now. I can separate the fandom, and I have no problem doing that. I have no problem betting against my teams either. So let's be clear there. I haven't done anything with Philly yet. It might be one of those. I do like Philly in the first half. It might be one of those first. That might be the angle. But the thing is, like, they're built to win this game. Like, I'm looking at Kansas City, and as great as Mahomes is and all the stuff everyone throws out there, Philly's got so many paths to victory. They can run the ball against this Kansas City defense. And if somehow Spags puts together some elite game plan where they're going to shut down Barkley, you can throw on these guys. Kansas City deploys man coverage at the fifth highest rate in the NFL, fifth highest. That's where Jalen Hurts thrives. Jalen Hurts is number three in the NFL in raw QBR against man coverage. He's ahead of Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, 15 touchdowns, two interceptions. A.J. Brown is your preeminent man beater. So, like, A.J. Brown props over 69.5 receiving yards, I'm in. 7-1 for him to go over 125 receiving yards, I'm in. I sprinkled a little on his MVP. I always like to get a long shot in there. He was 30-1. I played a little on that as well. So when you look at this, like, I know everyone thinks run heavy script for Philly, and that's what they want to do. But if they have to open it up in the passing game, I think they can have a lot of success here.
Total homer picks, by the way. Just want to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
Despite what you said. did we get all the props in there? Did you incorporated everything there in that little diatribe?
I got one of my favorites. I haven't been talking about it yet. I just finalized it, and I got down pretty much as much as I was willing to bet on this. So I'm going to start talking about it publicly. I'm going to give this one to you guys first, and this isn't any shtick. I just kind of finished it this morning because I was talking to someone from ESPN who had been watching the tape. It's a two-part prop. Trent McDuffie, the Chiefs cornerback, to record the first sack in the game is 50-1.
Ooh.
To record a sack in the game, just one sack in the game, is 30-1. Now, you look at McDuffie and you think he's a cornerback. Of course those are going to be long shot prices. He's got like 4.5 sacks in his career. Two of them came in the regular season against Philadelphia last year. Spags wants to get pressure on Jalen Hurts. We all know about it. You guys have probably been talking about it. Hurts versus pressure versus Hurts without. It's two different quarterbacks. Against pressure, he's miserable. You got to bring pressure, but you got to be creative. In that game against Philly, I think it was a Monday nighter last year at Arrowhead, he was blitzing McDuffie like crazy, and McDuffie had two sacks in that game. So he's 50-1 to record the first sack here and 30-1 to record a sack in general. Those are two bets I like very much.
I love it. Nice job closing it out. Joe, on my only note, once again, a little more energy next time, okay? I'm sure your career will take off after that.
I'll do the best I can. I'm down here in New Orleans. Maybe I'll find some party favors. Come back on with you guys. Go nuts.
Joe Fortenbaugh, everybody, from ESPN, at Joe Fortenbaugh on the old Twitter machine, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Thank you, Joe, as always. My man. We'll come back. A little golf, a little NFL. Who knows what we'll get into? It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.